It's Tuesday, the day we read from your emails and web comments. Many of you had strong opinions on when or if people can video record police officers and arrests. The reaction we heard during the program was overwhelmingly in favor of letting the cameras roll. Several police officers wrote in to disagree. Officer McNabb is an active cop in Missouri and emailed to tell us, "We routinely record audio and video by car-mounted camera. However, with private citizen recordings, I would be concerned with partial video clips taken out of context, being published or viewed, casting an incorrect or inaccurate recollection of the event. Also, I'm concerned with certain tactics that officers use being recorded and studied for exploitation, which becomes an officer safety issue." Just another perspective from the law enforcement side. And Sergeant David Lowe in Panama City, Florida, added, "I have seen, quote, citizen reporters approach officers during a struggle. Essentially, you have an unknown subject coming at you with arm outstretched and a silver black object in their hand. I have seen these concerned citizens clueless advance on an incident trying to get a better shot while ignoring, not hearing, an officer's command to back off. We need to figure out a way to discourage this kind of action while maintaining the rights of everybody. Another issue not addressed is video documentation limits an officer's ability to be lenient on a suspect offender and tends to embolden suspects during confrontations." We also talked with retail guru Paco Underhill about what women want. They make more major financial decisions and have more buying power than ever, but he argues many stores and businesses have no clue. Diane Meyer in Rochester, New York, agreed. "I'm a female engineer. I think my career choice was influenced by my mother saying, 'That must have been designed by a man,' all my early life, as she struggled with various mechanical devices." And finally, the classic American novel, To Kill a Mockingbird, turned 50 years old on Sunday. We asked you to tell us what the book meant to you. Liz West emailed from Pennsylvania to say, "I still remember reading To Kill a Mockingbird to both of my children, who are now young adults. Some passages I couldn't get through without pausing to wipe away a tear. There's no other book I can think of that imparts values of human decency to a child as well as this book does. I cherish so many of the scenes that the character of Atticus shares with Jem and Scout, where he transmits truths about the world and people. They are complicated truths, showing that life can be unfair and that people can be cruel, but also that there is much decency and goodness in the world, too." You can download the podcast. If you missed any of those shows, just go to npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation for details. While you're there, sign up for our newsletter. We'll send you a daily update of what's coming up on the program and how to get in on the conversation. And if you're on Twitter, you can follow me there, at Neil Conan, all one word. If you have comments, questions, or corrections for us, the best way to reach us is by email. The address is talk@npr.org. Please let us know where you're writing from and give us some help on how to pronounce your name. Talk of the Nation is produced by John Asante, April Failing, Dahlia Martinez, Susanna George, Barry Hardiman, and Sarah Handel. Sarah also produces our web content. Our editor is Scott Cameron. Our intern is Jalyn Lossick. Gwen Uten directs the program. Drew Reynolds is our technical director. He gets engineering help from Jerry Tennant, Dennis Nielsen, and Burke Hunn. Talk of the Nation's theme music was composed by Greg Smith. Our supervising senior producer is Carlene Watson. Sue Goodwin is the executive producer. Tomorrow, it's Political Junkie Day. Ken Rudin will join us, as usual. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.